And now, a homecoming story. Emma and Lynn are Mexican-American sisters, and after their mother's sudden death, the sisters return to their East L.A. neighborhood to decide what to do with the building and the bar their mother left behind, which leads to a lot of conversations like this.
I'm pretty sure that half the tenants are still undocumented. Would they be able to rent anywhere else?
Like, you really care.
What kind of Mexican would I be if I didn't care?
That's from the new Starz series, Vida, the imagined story of two women coming home to family secrets, a changing neighborhood, and the people fighting to protect it. People like the young Latina activist, Marisol.
¿Qué pasa, mi raza? This is your girl, la pinche chinche. This is a manifesto, mi gente. So grab a pencil and take note, because this morning, I'm saying basta.
Those are the opening lines of Vida, a rallying cry against gentrification. Mexican-American playwright turned TV writer and showrunner Tanya Saracho created the show, which has an all-Latina and Latinx writing room, cast, and crew. Saracho told me her characters are wrestling with issues that come directly from the real world.
The big idea of this show was to write a show about gentrification. Gente meaning the people. It's a play on the word.
I was going to say, explícame gentrification. Because,
gentrification.
Yes.
Gentrification is the gentrification of a Latinx space by an upwardly mobile Latinx or Latinx force. You know, it's a new term that's been, you know, thrown into the mainstream, but I guess it was along with chipster, Chicano hipster, and other terms.
Chipster? Wait a minute. We have a couple of words we're going to have to dissect here. So chipster is Chicano, a Chicano hipster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's, this world is steeped in that too. You know, artists come, the chipsters come, but I wanted us to take a look at how we are playing a part in this problem.
How Latinos are playing a part in their own gentrification.
Exactly. So gentrification. So the show is about that. The two sisters will become a gentifying force, because if they do anything to attract anybody else outside this neighborhood into their bar, they will become gentifiers, you know? And that's the debate. I don't know, you know, that's the debate. Is that what you need for this business to grow? Especially because the bar, as we find it, is sort of a haven for queer women in the neighborhood, which is not extremely popular, so it's niche, but it doesn't pay the bills.
So you said so many things that I want to go back to in what you just said. There's like so many. I was taking notes furiously. So one of the things was the use of the word Latinx. And this is a word that has come into the current vocabulary for a lot of Latinos and Latinas. Tell us a little bit about this word. Do you use it personally? Is it something that we hear a lot about in the show itself?
Well, I come from the theater, and the theater follows academia, sort of, in the terminology. And, you know, the theater has sort of stopped using the word diversity, and we use inclusion, and then the mainstream is sort of catching up, or at least this industry. So Latinx I've been using for a while. It's a gender-inclusive term. It sort of wipes out the patriarchy because, you know, if we were in a room full of five women, five Latinas, and one Latino, we would still call everyone Latinos in that room, right? This sort of takes that away.
Now, the question is, can Latinos gentrify themselves out of their own communities? I grew up in a community that was that is now gentrified. I'm Latina. If I went back to my working class community, would I be considered a gentifier?
It depends. If you're displacing, then yes. If you are affecting the economy of that area in a certain way, let's say if you come and open up a juice bar, you know, and there were already jugo shops, you know, the jugos, like always, but you open up a sort of like more chipstery, a high concept juice bar with more expensive juices, and it attracts a certain clientele, then yes. You would be a gentifier.
This is so complicated, though, because on the one hand, we want to see economic mobility and we want to keep things in the hands of certain folk. It's really a complicated issue. But there's also another layer to this, which is the show has depictions of queer intimacy and sex that we are not used to seeing on television necessarily.
Well, that's all by design, right? I wanted no glossy TV sex scenes, first of all, but also, these girls have sexual agency. They're body positive. They're you know, millennials with agency, and Latinas in a way that we haven't seen. Because usually we see Latinas that are sumisas and, you know, submissive and meek and scared.
Or the opposite. We're just like,
we are just
flaming balls of, you know, chiles. Yes.
Yeah. And I wanted these girls to be complicated and not just emotionally and as characters, but like in when it comes to their sex life. Emma is queer. I am queer. And sometimes I have to end up like defending my queerness and like lesbian bars or straight bars and be like, no, this is how I am queer. And Emma has been with trans people, with cis people, but what she is emotionally unavailable. Like intimacy is her big damage, you know? But in the show, you see her with a non-binary person. You see her with a woman. If we get a second season, you'll see her with more people, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Lynn. Lynn has figured out the age-old way to, like, to be some kind of, like, Western world Latina geisha to any and adapt to any male, usually white males, with money. So she doesn't have to work, which is not necessarily great, but like she has power over her sexuality in a way.
It also seems to fit into this very quote unquote sex positive moment that we're having right now, this sort of different depictions of your own sexual agency and versus what the expectations are, particularly in Latino communities where they can be very, very traditional and limiting in terms of, you know, particularly what women are allowed to do. I want to talk to you also about that, the folks that are putting this together. You have an all-Latino writing crew. Latinx is behind the camera. Tell us how this came together and why is that important?
Well, I think it happened the moment that Starz brought me in. Marta Fernandez is who brought me in. I think that matters. That name, you know, we have someone on the inside. Now, she's Hispanic, of Spaniard parents, but it matters because I didn't have to go in there. And usually I go into these meetings and I have to be some kind of cultural ambassador. There was none of that. There was a shorthand already. In fact, Marta is the one who pitched me the notion of gentrification, and I had never heard of gentrification. Of course, it made sense instantly, but the conversation that engendered was just really interesting, you know, like that we had. But Marta had to have already been there. There was no teaching moment. In fact, she was teaching me, you know, but then right away she was like, can you write a pilot about this? And I was like, yes. And then after that, it came come the, you know, the writers. And I knew always that I had dreamt of it since I got here. If I ever have a room, which I thought maybe if it happens in like 10, 12 years, you know, when they handed me the show, I only had been here 3 years. So I don't know.
Not bad.
I don't know. At first, it was like they handed me the keys to a really expensive car. And I'm like, I don't even have a license, you know?
I know the feeling.
But then here we are. And you just step up, you know, like that Hamilton song. You're not going to throw away your shot, you know?
Well, I have to say, I am not a chipster. But looking at the previews and what I've been able to see so far feels eerily, familiar to me. So thank you, Tanya. Tanya Saracho is a showrunner and creator of the new Starz show, Vida. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.